We are very happy here at the World Cafe that Pink Martini will join us live today. The 11-piece band has just released Hang On Little Tomato, 7 years after their debut, Sympathique. That album became a worldwide smash, selling over 650,000 copies and becoming a big hit in France. The band has been touring a lot since then, often playing with symphony orchestras. Piano player Thomas Lauderdale leads the band, and his good friend China Forbes is the vocalist. What they play is hard to describe, but will readily become apparent as we get into our interview. I started out by commenting to Thomas Lauderdale that it seems rare to see the band actually touring here in the U.S. nowadays.
That's true. Actually, in the United States, we're independent. That is, we've created our own label named Heinz, named after my dog. And so it's with a band this size, it obviously presents a certain number of challenges in terms of touring because we're not supported by Disney or Sony or any of the other major labels. We've just got a dog behind us. So it's difficult to travel with this many people. Fortunately, we've been able to have a wonderful career with symphony orchestras. So that's been very helpful.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Is that that must be huge fun for you guys to be able to play in
It's a huge area. Thrill. Yeah. We have kind of almost a Hollywood 1940s romantic sound in many ways, and so it's kind of like being in a gigantic musical, Busby Berkeley or something.
There's a beginning of trying to describe what Pink Martini sounds like. Thomas Lauderdale is at the piano, and I guess we can credit you with founding the band back in 1994. What are the other? I mean, I loved Musical Poo Poo Platter. I thought that was pretty good. I read that somewhere.
Really? Musical Poo Poo Platter? Is that what you said, China?
Yeah, we always have to come up with new and exciting ways to describe the music. In fact, sometimes we call it musical take and put, which I guess is a Midwestern expression. You take a little of this and put it in and take a little of that. Poo Poo Platter works, too. Or a tapas. Depends on what country we're in at the time.
Well, there's certainly a number of wonderful French songs, both yours and older ones you do, and there's a lot of Cuban music in what you do. What would you like to start off with? Because I think the best way we're going to get to any kind of a definition here is by letting people hear who don't know what Pink Martini is all about.
This is a song called El Negro Zumbon from the 1950 film, Italian film, Anna.
Repica la zambumba y llama la mujer. Ya viene el negro zumbón, bailando alegre el bayón. Repica la zambumba y llama la mujer.
Tengo ganas de bailar el nuevo compás. Dicen todos cuando me ven pasar.
Chica, ¿dónde vas?
Me voy pa' bailar
el bayón. Zumbón, bailando alegre el bayón, repica la zambumba y llama la mujer. Ya viene el negro zumbón, bailando alegre el bayón, repica la zambumba y llama la mujer.
Tengo ganas de bailar el nuevo compás, dicen todos cuando me ven pasar.
Chica, ¿dónde vas?
Me voy pa' bailar.
El bayón,
tengo ganas de bailar el nuevo compás.
Anna begins our set today from Pink Martini. We're playing live. That is one you will find on the Blue Sky Blue new album, Hang On, Little Tomato. And Thomas, that's you on the cover at age, what, one,
that was
two?
Just a couple years ago.
Just a couple years ago. A child. A child he is. You know, it's interesting. This new album, Hang On, Little Tomato, a lot more emphasis on, that. Not a particularly good example of it, but a lot more emphasis on writing, everybody writing their own material this time around. Was that a conscious thing as you move through?
You know, yes.
That's the short answer.
Do you want to say anything about that, James?
Well, I think it's important to write your own material. You know, we didn't want to be just a cover band, and I don't think we ever were really feeling like we were a cover band, but we did run the risk of becoming that if we didn't write our own material. And songwriting is fun.
Absolutely.
I would say that for me, like, I'm a classical pianist, so the concept of writing the song really never has been part of my repertoire. It's never really been my urge. So it's been a huge challenge, at least for me, to try to figure out how to do this. In many ways, China is much more of a songwriter than I am. Fortunately, everybody in the band does write, and also gives us an opportunity to collaborate with people, friends from other parts of the world, people who don't normally write songs, and it was just a fun way to kind of work with friends and have nothing to lose and to try writing.
That first piece you did, Anna, as you say, is from an Italian film. How much is the world of film influence what you do? Because you do create your own world, and it is it is certainly a world that seems perfect in a lot of ways. And the only things that I've, you know, old films are one of the few environments that you see that where a nightclub is a perfect nightclub, and people, you know, couples kiss perfectly, and et cetera.
That's interesting. You know, I mean, in many ways, I think that the surface of things from 1940 to 1964 was very beautiful worldwide, actually. There was a certain kind of commitment to beauty. There was a certain kind of commitment to grace. And there was a certain sort of optimism, I think, really, between 1945 and 1964, for example, in particular, after World War II. And I think that that was certainly reflected in a lot of film that we saw, whether it was in Italy in the Fellini films, or the dance sequences of Charles Vidor's Gilda, or even in some ways like Japanese cinema. Photographs, film, all of the visuals of that era are so perfect, and they certainly, I think, speak to a certain kind of beauty that largely, I think, was lost by 1964, within a year after the death of JF Kennedy. I think the challenge, you know, obviously during that period of time, is that things weren't necessarily beautiful for everybody. You know, they looked beautiful, but they weren't necessarily great for black people, for example, or for women, for that matter. And I think that the challenge is to sort of, like, still find hope and a great deal of inspiration in the surface of that, and still aspire to that kind of surface, combine it with everything that we know about being a citizen of the world in the year 2005. That's the challenge.
I think many of the people who ended up picking up Pink Martini's first album, Sympathique, probably thought they were the only people who knew about it, and their friend told them about it. And it was this chain that I think made it kind of a unique thing, at least here in the States. Now, something different happened in Europe. I know, particularly in France, it became, as you say, you had bigger distribution, it became a bigger thing. And part of that had to do with it, the title of the song being used in a Citroën commercial?
Yes. Automobiles. I mean, China was actually in a movie which played at the Cannes Film Festival, and so she and I went one year, I think it was 1997, to the Cannes Film Festival, and we thought, as we were going around to these parties, that it would be a great idea to take the entire band the following year, which we did. And out of that came sort of a European record contract, as well as sort of notoriety in certain kind of like film artsy circles in Europe. And out of that came a huge commercial campaign with Citroën, a car in France, and that kind of put us on the map and actually allowed us to do a lot of traveling, especially in Europe.
Can you do something from the first album?
This is actually the title song, Sympathique, also known as Je ne veux pas travailler, I don't want to work, and the chorus means I don't want to work, I don't want to smoke. No. Wait, I've
you gave away the punchline. Oh. I don't want to work. Yeah. I don't want to have lunch. I only want to forget, and then I smoke.
Ma chambre a la forme d'une cage. Le soleil passe son bras par la fenêtre. Les chasseurs à ma porte comme les petits soldats qui veulent me prendre. Je ne veux pas travailler. Je ne veux pas déjeuner. Je veux seulement oublier. Et puis je fume. Déjà j'ai connu le parfum de l'amour. Un million de roses ne paumerait pas autant. Maintenant une seule fleur dans mes entourages me rend malade. Je ne veux pas travailler. Je ne veux pas déjeuner. Je veux seulement oublier. Et puis je fume. Je ne suis pas fière de sa vie qui veut me tuer. Magnifique, être sympathique, mais je ne le connais jamais. Je ne veux pas travailler, non, je ne veux pas déjeuner, je veux seulement oublier, et puis je fume. Sa vie qui veut me tuer. C'est magnifique être sympathique, mais je ne le connais jamais. Je ne veux pas travailler, non, je ne veux pas déjeuner, je veux seulement
Martini, you're playing live for us today, and that is Sympathique, you may well know from their first album. And I guess we should talk a little bit about how the band came together and why it came together in Portland, Oregon. Thomas, you and China first met at school at Harvard?
Yes. We met in 1989, I think.
88. Well, 88, I saw you scurrying across Harvard Yard in your costume of the day, which was, can I describe it? It was really cute. He had black hair, kind of longer hair that was swooshed back with probably some sort of gel, and a spiffy little white shirt with a bow tie, crisp Bermuda shorts in a navy, knee socks, and dress shoes. And so you can imagine he caught my eye as well as the eye of everyone in our class. And I knew I had to meet that guy. And then I finally met you, sophomore year, because we moved into the same dorm, Adam's house.
Now, what were you studying, Thomas? Do you first?
I was doing, you know, strangely enough, I started out in economics.
Oh.
But quickly realized that
that didn't work out.
That was not my forte. And so I quickly moved to history and literature. Scampered.
China, what about you?
I was barely studying. I was I started out in the studio art major, visual and environmental studies, and then I switched to English literature after 2 years when I realized I was not going to be a painter. But I really did a lot of theater, which was not recognized academically, but that was sort of what I was passionate about.
And Thomas, I assume you were carrying on performance at the same time?
No, I was, well, of a different kind, I guess. I was throwing parties. I learned how, you know, more than anything else, what I learned how to do it at Harvard was to really throw a good party. We lived in a really unusual dormitory, Adam's house, which was very the artsy sort of like gay international house, although there were really any, I think I was the only gay person in the entire dormitory. It was known as gay. But it was a, it was an unusual environment in that it was very sort of it nurtured the really sort of out there sense of fun, and here was a group of people from really all parts of the world. It was the most international house on campus, and it was almost like going to a different school at the time. It was very much its own sort of world, kind of like you know, I sometimes think of Pink Martini as Adam's house on the road.
sounds right too. And now, how did you all end up back in Portland?
I'm from Portland. I grew up on a plant farm in Indiana, but then my parents quickly moved to Portland in 1982 after my father ran off with a German boy who worked on our plant nursery. And so then we all left and went to Portland, where things are more liberal and just as green and not nearly as, you know, rural as rural Indiana. And so I went back to Portland ostensibly to go into politics, to become mayor of Portland. That was my goal. And then sort of found myself really dismayed at the lighting and the music at these political functions. So started the band and remembered China Forbes, who, of course, is, you know, glamorous, fantastic, amazing voice, always kept everybody in stitches and still does. And so would fly her back and forth every other weekend from New York City to Portland. And pretty soon, you know, picked up all of these people in different parts of different alleys and different streets in Portland. And here we all are.
And I quickly realized, you know, I was living in New York at the time, and I would go to Portland and have this, like, really fun weekend with this band, and the whole community seemed to know each other, and it was like camp or something, summer camp for grown-ups. And so after a few years of it, I really felt like I should just move to Portland. It was much better than New York City. Much more space.
Summer camp,
more
and
civilized.
A Harvard dorm on the road. A perfect. There we have our descriptions of Pink Martini.
Well, and also, it's cheap. It's inexpensive in the sense that, like, you know, Portland is really an amazing artsy city right now at this point. It's the last frontier. It's by far the cheapest of the cities on the West Coast. And there are 600 bands which are based there. It's a very artistic community. So it's, you know, if you're thinking about coming west to invest, don't come. If you're thinking about coming west to live well and to avoid all the sort of Pottery Barns and Costcos that are creeping across America, Portland, Oregon is the place to come.
Pink Martini are our guests. What's next?
Oh, let's never stop. Let's never stop falling in love, shall we?
nothing's clear. Earth is a beautiful heaven. Always a hope that we shine like the star and be forever floating above. I know a falling star can't fall forever. So let's never stop falling in love. No, let's never stop falling in love.
There's an original from Hang On Little Tomato, Let's Never Stop Falling in Love, as Pink Martini are playing live for us today on the World Cafe. And it's 11-piece band here on stage today, but on the albums are augmented by string quartets, little string orchestras, a trombone quartet, the Ulysses S. Grant High School Choir. What are some of the experiences you have recording? Because you seem to love to go and find the sound you need.
Well, you know, I mean, this particular record was really difficult because it was the second one, and I think anytime you have a certain kind of a modicum of success with a first anything, whether it's a first book or first record or first film, there's huge pressure to actually make the second one. You know, I mean, it's the classic thing, and so I think for me this was a really tough album to work on, and I think that it took 3.5 years of trying different combinations of things. And you know, one of the happy joys along the side of this really sort of like difficult process was actually running around and finding people, whether it was the Grant High School Royal Blues or the sort of Italian speaking staff of Piazza Italia, a restaurant in Portland, or Hiroshi Wada, the man who played the original slide guitar on Kikuchi Toshimasu in 1964, who we traveled to Tokyo to record with again. You know, it's a matter of sort of, I think, really honoring our elders and honoring the people who've come before us and giving them credit and recognizing their sort of work and actually working with our teachers and working with people who have come before us. In this country, there's not nearly enough of that honoring and recognition of the people who have really allowed us to sort of be here. Our sort of immediate teachers, our heroes, the people we grew up loving to hear, or the people who affected us, our English teachers from high school, or you know, anybody who really has come before us, our ancestors, being you know, part of an ongoing dialogue with the past and the future.
Looking at the global breadth of what you do stylistically and in terms of the people you have playing with you, one can see kind of there's a subtext of gathering people together musically, I would guess would be one of the ways to put it. That's a conscious thing, I would think.
I don't know if it's necessarily so conscious. It's more just it is kind of like, I mean, this is how I think we all live, and so it's kind of inevitable that it is part of the things that we create.
Which also makes sense. Pink Martini, you're playing live, and I heard you were going to do Clementine, one of my faves. So that's next.
No creatures stir in the morning time. If the clouds go still in the sky, and the day's rolling and passes by, I will ride your elevator. We'll stay out till it is later. If tomorrow's sun doesn't shine, at least I'll have my Clementine. if tomorrow's moon doesn't show. If our dreams go lost in the winter snow, and the flowers wither and die, and the waterfalls run low and dry, will you meet me in the garden? We'll say please and beg your pardon. If tomorrow's sun doesn't shine, at least I'll have my that nobody knows. There's a packing up of summer clothes. In the lazy days of my mind, you've always been my Clementine.
Clementine, another one from Hang On Little Tomato from Pink Martini. Thank you again for playing live. It's just a real treat.
Thank you for having us.
Pink Martini, our guests, and we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe. Thanks again to Pink Martini, our guest today on the World Cafe. Still on Heinz Records, that new album, Hang On Little Tomato, is available on our World Cafe website at worldcafe.org.